Good morning. Please be seated. I want to welcome us to this time of worship and greet us all in the name of the one whose birth we have celebrated and into whose season we are about to move. There's all kinds of memes and such on Facebook floating around. For those of us who are good church folk, we know that Christmas isn't over, in spite of the fact that, you know, XM Radio cut us off of the Christmas carols and stuff the other day, and, you know, you can't find a Christmas decoration in a store. And Tamara and I were at Superstore the other day, and good heavens, Easter candy is out. No word of a lie, there is Easter candy on the stores, Easter bunnies and candy. But we know it is still Christmas. Next Sunday will be Advent, but this is our Sunday of Christmas, and so welcome to this time. If you're visiting this morning, a warm welcome to you. I am Reverend Michael Mugford, and I am in ministry here at Cole Harbor Woodside with so many other people, and I'm so pleased to be able to be here with you this morning. Our regular musician is away, Charles, and so we have Anne, who has agreed to fill in for us this morning. So thank you very much, Anne, for doing that. So this morning, the service I have built is a service that sort of tells the Christmas story, because it is still Christmas, but it uses the story from all four of the Gospels. And so we're going to sort of tell a chronological story, I guess, of the story of Christmas. So I'm hoping that that will help you to continue to enjoy the wonder and the beauty of this season. There is a brief time of fellowship after the service, so please do stay for a cup of hot cider. Tamara and I have been pleased to be able to share that with you folks over the last number of weeks. I should let you know about the envelopes. Came in this morning, they weren't out. Tamara and I rushed to put them out. They are not in alphabetical order. So it's a little bit of a quiz for you. You need to know your envelope number. So, if you find it, they're numerical. By next Sunday, they will be in alphabetical order for those of you who can't remember your number. And there is a box or two missing at this point in time. I've texted Scott. We're hoping that they will be back for next Sunday. So, you know, but hey, just a plug on behalf of the Finance Committee, you could solve all this by just going on par. Then you wouldn't have to worry about this, right? See, Gordon, he's over here this morning. He'll give you a par form. So as we gather for worship this morning, I invite us to share together our prelude carol, Good Christian Friends Rejoice. We're going old school. You got to pick up your books. So no screens this morning. number 35 in Voices United.
Thank you.
like the shepherds, we come to the stable, uncertain of what we have heard and seen. Like the wise ones, we have journeys to make, gifts to offer, and hope in our hearts.
That this world can change for the better.
Here in the stillness of a winter's morning, we gather to share the light of Christ, a light that shines in all our days.
We gather in the wonder of this day to share our joy and thanks for new life.
Advent, the season of preparing, is over. Now our waiting is finished and Christ is in our midst. Now is a time of fulfillment and a celebration of a year that begins anew. On Advent 1, we lit the candle of hope, hope for ourselves and for God's beloved world. On Advent 2, we lit a candle of peace. Peace in our hearts, peace in our relationships, and peace for the earth. On Advent 3, we lit a candle of joy. Joy in our lives together, joy to the world, and within our whole being. And on Advent 4, we lit a candle of love. The promise of God's love for all human beings and for all creation. On Christmas Day, we lit again the candle of Christ. The hour has come, and the season is fulfilled. Light the candle again,
and each Sunday in the year to come, Christ, the light of the world, Christ, the light of possibility, Christ, the light of life. Amen.
And we'll sing verse 5 of A Candle is Burning. God, you who are the very symbol of new beginnings, wrap us in acceptance and hope as we come to this time of worship.
Open to us the wonders of your loving call
in the world to be a part of the promise and embodiment of your word. We make a resolution together today to ever grow love, hope, peace, and joy in our world. We will strive to be faithful to the call to love you, love neighbor, and love self. This is our prayer and resolution on the verge of 2018. Amen.
Well, it's not in the bulletin, but I really wasn't, to tell you the honest goodness, sure there was going to be children here this morning. So the children who are here, come on up, and we'll have some time together if you'd like. How are you doing this morning? Good, good. How are you? Good. Did you have a good Christmas?
Yeah.
We got Hatchimals.
Hatchimals. Wow. And what exactly is a Hatchimal? Okay. And what do you do to make them hatch? Okay, follow the instructions and they'll hatch. Right, good. That's good. How are you guys doing this morning? Come on up. We can move down a little bit further here. There we go. So, and how was your Christmas? Good, good. Everybody had a good Christmas? What was your favorite thing about Christmas this year? Was the Hatchimals, yeah? What about you? What was your favorite thing about Christmas? Did you get a new doll for Christmas? Is that new? She's pretty. Yeah. And what was your favorite thing about Christmas?
Getting
Yeah, sure. How about you? Oh, a doll. What was the best thing for Christmas for you guys?
Opening presents.
Opening presents? Uh-huh. And what about you? You're Hatchimal, too. And what was your best thing for Christmas? Your Barbie camper. Ooh. Mm. Yeah. My best thing for Christmas was when the power came back on. That was cool, because the house was getting cold. Did your power go out?
Yeah.
It did? Yeah? Did you have lots of fun? Did you light candles and stuff? It just flashed? Yeah? You went to Nan and Granddad's? Yeah? Did your power go out? No? Your did? Yeah? Mm. We were really lucky. Our turkey got cooked, so that was a really good lucky thing for us on Christmas Day. That was a good present for us. And we had a really nice candlelight dinner. Impromptu. And actually, everybody thought it was so fun, we think we're going to do it again next year. Next year, we won't turn the power out, but we'll have candles all over the table for Christmas dinner. It was really kind of fun. It kind of reminded us of, you know, maybe the night after Jesus was born, and Mary and Joseph and Jesus were in the stable, and maybe there was shepherds still coming to see the baby, because, you know, once a baby is born, you know, everybody likes to come and see, don't they? Have you ever gone to see a new baby that's just been born in the last little while? Yeah? Was it a relative or a friend? Yeah, a friend. How about you? Have you gone to see a new baby? You have a baby brother, so you know about that. Yeah, and you have a baby sister, so you went to see a new baby. You were probably pretty little when she was born, though, right? Yeah. So everybody likes to come and see a baby. So I was wondering about what things might have been like in the stable. We hear about the story of the angel and the shepherds and the sheep and such that come to the stable. But I wondered, what were things like in the days after that? You know, I mean, there was still, the cattle still needed to be fed, and the sheep and the shepherds probably had to go in and out of the field. And Mary and Joseph, we don't even know how long they stayed in that stable. The Bible doesn't tell us. But we did know that, you know, Jesus came, and he was born, and they needed to look after him until he grew up to be a grown-up. Lots of things to wonder about. We sometimes skip over the story because next Sunday, by the time we get back to church, Jesus will be a grown man. And he'll come to John the Baptist and be baptized. But what happened? He grew up in 2 weeks. So it's interesting for us to think about what kind of things Jesus did when he was your age. What do you think Jesus liked to do when he was little, when you're your age? He didn't have a Hatchimal, that's for sure. He didn't have a Barbie camper, no. Playmobil, nothing of that sort of thing. Wonder what he played. I mean, now, maybe he watched real chickens hatch. Maybe. I bet you they had chickens and such. Maybe he helped to water the animals as he was growing up, because I imagine Mary and Joseph had animals to help goats for milk and that sort of thing. We know that Joseph was a carpenter. Maybe he learned how to work with wood. Have you ever worked with wood? No? No? Maybe one day you'll learn to grow work. So all kinds of neat stuff. Good for us to think about what Jesus was like when he was growing up, wasn't it? Yeah. So that's kind of we're kind of in a wondering time right now. So let's spend a moment of prayer, and we'll wonder about Jesus. What would you like to wonder about Jesus that we can include in our prayer? What would you like to wonder about Jesus growing up? Anything? What would you like to wonder? Do you have anything you would like to wonder about Jesus as he was growing up? What do you think? What would you like to wonder about Jesus? A TV. Oh, wow. Wonder what he did for entertainment. Well, let's have a little prayer, and in our prayer, we will wonder about what Jesus did, okay? So let's put our hands together, and we'll close our eyes. And you can repeat a little bit after me. Thank you, God, for the Christmas season.
Thank you, God, for the Christmas season.
Help us to wonder.
Help us to wonder.
About Jesus' birth.
About Jesus' birth.
About his life growing up.
About his life growing up.
And how he closely walked with you.
And how he closely walked with you.
Help us to do the same.
Help us to do the same.
Amen. Amen. Thank you very much for coming up and sharing a little time. We're going to tell the Christmas story over the next little bit. So if you would like to, I don't think there's, there is activities upstairs. People are so good. Man, I mean, you guys got everything all planned out. So there are activities for you folks to go and to be a part of upstairs. So thanks very much for sharing time with us this morning.
So as I shared with the children this morning, just a few moments ago, we tell the Christmas story each year. It's become so familiar, it's almost rote in some ways. I shared many years ago with one of the congregations I was serving that I actually learned the Christmas story from Charlie Brown. Linus's soliloquy there in the Charlie Brown Christmas, right? That's where we weren't really big church people at the time, and that was where I learned. I didn't realize it came from Luke. There you go. So I just, all I knew was this was the Christmas story from Charlie Brown. So we think we know it, but really Luke is the story that we know the best. We don't know the story from Matthew as well, or Luke, or Mark. I mean, John or Mark. So anyway, so this morning I thought, let's have a little journey through that story, through that narrative. It isn't one compact, cohesive story. The story that we have come to call the Christmas story is actually an amalgam or a synthesis of the birth narrative Jesus found in Luke and in Matthew. So we have in our stable scene here, as we put together on Christmas Eve at the 8 o'clock service, the characters that we're familiar with from the Luke story. But over here we left the three magi, the three wise ones, sort of off away. We love to see Christmas cards where they're all gathered around the manger and the stable and such. But really, as far as we understand, the magi didn't come into the picture until Matthew's gospel, which talks about them arriving later. So Luke's gospel has the familiar story of the census and the angels and the shepherds. And in Matthew, there's the story of the star and the magi. In John's gospel, we don't get a birth story for Jesus. But rather, John has a very spiritual way and a symbolic way of encountering Christ at the very, very beginning. And in Matthew and in Mark's gospel, there's no birth narrative either. We get a beginning, however, a beginning of Jesus' ministry. This morning, we're going to tell that story in a way that perhaps you haven't heard before, or maybe you have. This morning, we're going to listen to each of the Gospels tell us what their part of the story is about God's incarnation in the world through Jesus. And so we're going to do this morning through readings and through carols, and I hope then pray that it will bring a sense of God's presence, and it may prepare us for our new beginnings as we start 2018. And so as we begin, I'll invite us to sing verse 1 of Go Tell It on the Mountain.
Thank you. first reading this morning is taken from John 1, verses 1 to 18. In the beginning, there was the Word. The Word was in God's presence, and the Word was God. The Word was present to God from the beginning. Through the Word, all things came into being, and apart from the Word, nothing came into being. That has come into being. In the Word was life, and that life was humanity's light, a light that shines in the darkness, a light that the darkness has never overtaken. Then came one named John, sent as an envoy from God, who came as a witness to testify about the light, so that through his testimony everyone might believe. He himself wasn't the light. He only came to testify about the light, the true light that illumines all humankind. The Word was coming into the world, was in the world. Excuse me. I'm sorry, I've lost my place for a moment. Here I am again, Roger. Sorry. Nothing came into being that has come into being. In the world was life, and that life was humanity's light, a light that shines in the darkness, a light that the darkness has never overtaken. Then came one named John, sent as an envoy from God, who came as a witness to testify about the light, so that through his testimony, everyone might believe. He himself wasn't the light. He only came to testify about the light, the true light that illumines all humankind. The Word was coming into the world, was in the world. And though the world was made through the Word didn't recognize it. Through the Word came to its own realm, the world's own people didn't accept it. Yet any who did accept the Word, who believed in that name, were empowered to become children of God. Children born not of nature descent, nor urge of flesh, nor human will, but born of God. And the Word became flesh and stayed for a little while among us. We saw the Word's glory, the favor and position a parent gives an only child filled with grace, filled with truth. John testified by proclaiming, "This is the one I was talking about when I said, 'The one who comes after me ranks ahead of me, for this one existed before I did.' Of this one's fullness we've all had a share, gift on top of gift, for while the law was given through Moses, the gift and the truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. It is only the begotten, ever at Abba's side, who has revealed God to us."
So as I said, we start John's gospel. There's no shepherds. There's no magi. There's no angels, no stars. John's gospel is a gospel that is full of imagery and spiritual language, more so than any of the other gospels, according to some theologians. John writes of Jesus in so much of the work in terms of signs and wonders. We tend to call them miracles, but one of my profs at AST preferred that we think of them as signs, things that point to who Jesus was, rather than supernatural occurrences. But we love to hear about those signs and wonders. They're not meant to be proofs. They're meant to be affirmations of Jesus and his source in God. There sometimes feels like there is far less of a human Jesus in John's gospel and more of a God-man, if you will. The divinity of Jesus is pointed to through all the signs throughout the gospel.
And the first sign for John is that Jesus, that human part of the being, is not only human, but finds its source in the eternal word, the eternal logos, the eternal wisdom, the eternal Sophia, the eternal Christ. So when we are reading John chapter 1, we are at both a beginning and a beginning again, because there's a little hint of the creation story in the early part of John's gospel. So as we begin our journey through Jesus' early life and his birth, we are at the beginning as in Genesis. And that is meant to bring us joy. It's meant to bring us wonder. And it's meant to bring us a sense of who we are meant to be. And so we'll sing Joy to the World. Now, Joy to the World is one of the most favorite Christmas carols there is. How many people love Joy to the World? Yeah, it's not a Christmas carol. Sorry. It wasn't written to be a Christmas carol, and yet it's become one of our favorites at this time. Joy to the World is sung almost exclusively at Advent and Christmas time, but much of its words and much of its theology finds its source in the book of Revelation. It's meant to be not just the coming of Christ, but the second coming. It has in its allusions to Christ's return, not merely to Christ's birth. And so let us sing this favorite Christmas carol, Joy to the World, number 59 in Voices United.
The second reading is taken from Matthew 1, verses 18, 2, and 12. This is how the birth of Jesus came about. When Jesus' mother, Mary, was engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be pregnant. Through the Holy Spirit, Joseph, her husband, an upright person, unwilling to disgrace her, decided to divorce her quietly. This was Joseph's intention when suddenly the angel of God appeared in a dream and said, "Joseph, heir to the house of David, don't be afraid to wed Mary. It is by the Holy Spirit that she has conceived this child. She is to have a son, and you are to name him Jesus. Salvation, because he will save the people from their sins." All this happened to fulfill what God has said through the prophet. "The virgin will be with child and give birth, and the child will be named Emmanuel, a name that means God is with us." When Joseph awoke, he did as the angel of God had directed, and they went ahead with the marriage. He did not have intercourse with her until she had given birth. She had a son, and they named him Jesus. They were warned in a dream not to return to Herod, so they went back to their own country by another route.
So as we can see, Matthew's birth story is a really brief story. Jesus is born. That's it. The author begins, however, the book by setting out Jesus' lineage from Abraham to exile, and then from the exile to David. 7 generations in between those 2 events. Now, in Hebrew numerology, the number 7 and its multiples are a divine number. So 14 generations and 14 generations point to the divinity of Jesus in Matthew's gospel. In Matthew, we see the dilemma that Joseph undergoes, and it's to Joseph the angel speaks in Matthew's gospel. Joseph isn't sure whether he'll go through with the marriage or not, but the angel urges him not to be afraid to enter into this covenant with God and to care for Mary and the child. Matthew's gospel then jumps directly to that unique story of the visit of the Magi. So often we call them the 3 wise men, but of course we don't really know how many people there were. There could have been dozens of wise ones. We only know that there were gifts: gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Likely a nod to the prophet Isaiah once again, who writes describing the restoration of Israel after the captivity in this way. The prophet writes, "Lift up your eyes and see, for your sons and daughters are coming home from distant lands. Your eyes will shine with joy, your hearts will thrill, for merchants around the world will flow to you, bringing you the wealth of many lands. Vast droves of camels will converge upon you, dromedaries from Midian, Sheba, and Ephah, bringing gold, frankincense, and myrrh to the praise of God." End quote. So let us sing of this visit of our wondrous Magi this morning with a wonderfully Canadian Christmas carol, "'Twas in the Moon of Wintertime," also called the Huron Carol, number 71.
Was in the
Luke 2, verses 22 to 40. When the day came for them to be purified, as laid down by the law of Moses, the couple took Jesus up to Jerusalem and presented him to God. For it's written in the law of our God, every firstborn heir is to be consecrated to God. They likewise came to offer in sacrifice a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons in accord with the dictate of the law of our God. Now there lived in Jerusalem a man named Simeon. He was devout and just, anticipating the consolation of Israel, and he was filled with the Holy Spirit. She had revealed to Simeon that he wouldn't see death until he had seen the Messiah of God. Prompted by her, Simeon came to the temple, and when the parents brought in the child to perform the customary rituals of the law, he took the child in his arms and praised God, saying, "Now, O God, you can dismiss your servant in peace, just as you promised, because my eyes have seen the salvation which you have prepared for all the peoples to see, a light of revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." As the child's mother and father stood there marveling at the things that were being said, Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, the mother, "This child is destined to be the downfall and the rise of many in Israel, and to be a sign that is rejected, so that the secret thoughts of many may be laid bare, and a sword will pierce your heart as well." There was a woman named Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher, who was also a prophet. She had lived a long life, 7 years with her husband, and then as a widow to the age of 84. She never left the temple, whispering day and night, fasting and praying. Coming up at that moment, she gave thanks to God and talked about the child to all who anticipated the deliverance of Jerusalem. When the couple had fulfilled all the prescriptions of the law of God, they returned to Galilee and their own town of Nazareth. The child grew in size and strength. He was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was with him.
Didn't share the Luke story again, we've heard it a number of times, but after the shepherds and the angels and all of those characters that we have are aware of from Luke's gospel comes this wonderful scene, this post-nativity scene of Jesus and his family, of Jesus's family bringing him to the temple. It's one of those fulfillments of the law that we often hear about in the scripture. But we like to read that story from Luke's Gospel, the Nativity, because it's part of the story that we're so familiar with. At the very beginning of Luke's Gospel, the author promises that he is going to set out an orderly and proper account of the testimony to Jesus. And it's in Luke's Gospel we get the story of Elizabeth and Zechariah, the story of John the baptizer's birth, the Magnificat, and that full story of the Nativity as well. And we love those images, the journey, the inn, the stable, the shepherds, and the star. All of these fulfill that sense of wonder that we bring to the table when we are looking for our Christmas story. We're all called to come to the stable. The hymn, "O Come All Ye Faithful," is meant to draw us there. It dates back to the 1740s. And has many, many different versions and verses that help to bring us to a place of worship at this time of year.
It's interesting for me, at least, who's a bit of a Bible geek, that the second stanza of the verse draws very heavily upon our Nicene Creed. True God of true God, light from light eternal. Lo, he shuns not the virgin's womb, son of the Father, begotten, not created. The invitation to come, all ye faithful, to Bethlehem places the singer both among the shepherds who rush to see the Christ child and the long procession of the faithful who have journeyed to Bethlehem in their hearts over the last 2,000 years. So let us sing 60, I'll come all ye faithful, and we're going to sing verses 1, 3, 4, and 5.
Mark 1, verses 1 to 8. Here begins the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as it was written in Isaiah the prophet. I send my messenger before you to prepare your way. A herald's voice in the desert crying, make ready the way of our God. Clear a straight path. And so John the baptizer appeared in the desert, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. The whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem went out to John and were baptized by him in the Jordan River as they confessed their sins. John was clothed in camel's hair and wore a leather belt around his waist, and he ate nothing but grasshoppers and wild honey. In the course of his preaching, John said, one more powerful than I is to come after me. I am not fit to stoop and untie his sandal straps. I have baptized you in water, but the one to come will baptize you in the Holy Spirit. The word of the Lord.
And so we come to Mark's gospel, first of the recorded gospels, yet another gospel with no birth narrative. Mark's gospel is brief and to the point. Brevity seems to be his hallmark. And he begins at the very beginning of Jesus' ministry with a connection between John the Baptizer, who is in the tradition of the prophets of old, and the way in which God in Jesus comes to the forefront of the scene. For Mark, Jesus is not necessarily that pre-existent word of God as in John. There's no lineage in line with Abraham and David as in Matthew. There's no birth announcement to shepherds and angels as in Luke. For Mark, it is the taking on of the Spirit of God in baptism that will allow Jesus to be the one through whom God will baptize all with the Holy Spirit. It's hard to find a Christmas carol that doesn't speak of Jesus' birth. But Hark the Herald Angels Sing seems to sum up all four Gospels in a wonderful way in the encounter of the Incarnation. In verse 1, we sing of the newborn King, honoring Matthew and Luke. In verse 2, we sing of Christ, the Logos, the Word, being heaven adored and Godhead veiled in flesh, which honors the imagery of John's gospel. And in verse 3, we sing of the Prince of Peace, the Son of Righteousness, both prophetic images that come out of our Hebrew scriptures and the prophetic communities to which John the Baptizer and Jesus would have both belonged. We are called upon, as we enter into the new year, to share the good news, to share the story, to say that it is now and finally Christmas and always. On the cusp of 2018, may we proclaim the news that the light is returning to the world in Christ and in us as co-workers for the realm of God in our lives. Amen. Sing with me number 48 in Voices United, Hark the Herald Angels Sing.
Glory.
want to say thank you, Carol, for all of those readings. When she signed up to read this Sunday, she didn't know what a large task she had taken on. You can't get any closer to the last Sunday of the year than having December 31st fall on a Sunday. Over the course of this year, we have walked many different paths. We have walked in joy together. We have enjoyed each other's company. We have welcomed new faces and new families into our midst, and we have said goodbye to loved ones and those who have been an important part of the life and work and ministry of this church. Each one of us is called into ministry, I believe, by the virtue of our baptism into Christ, and it's something I am overjoyed to witness in the work and the life and the ministry of Cole Harbour Woodside United Church. Each one of you are here on a Sunday worshiping, are working behind the scenes in committees and groups, participating in studies and offering your thoughts and your prayers for those who are in need of prayer. I honestly believe there is no small task in the church, that each one of us carries the ministry that we are able to carry. And so I want to say, as we conclude 2017, that none of the things that we have been able to do over the course of this year would be possible without all of us walking together in Christ and in Christ's light. Let us move then into 2018 with that same mission and ministry ahead of us, that we would bear in this community, in this community, in the wider community, and in our world, Christ's light. May we do that this morning as we participate in the offering of our gifts. For our offertory this morning, we'll sing verses 1 and 4 of A Little Town of Bethlehem, 64.
Thank you.
As we bring these gifts forward, O God, may they also be recognized not only as treasure, but the time and the talent which we seek to share. Bless them and us as we work towards a greater sense of justice, peace, and equity in our world, inspired by the teachings and love of Jesus and your Spirit within us. Amen. Let us pray. God of star and stable, you lead us to wonder and to hope. You gather us together to hear your promise of love. As we gather, we offer our concerns and our dreams, our hopes and our fears. Like the shepherds who sought the stable, we seek your promise of peace. We pray for your people broken by violence, those who live with fear, those who live without hope. We remember war-torn and weary places in our world, and we pray for your courage to enact peace. Like the wise ones who journeyed and dedicated their gifts, we remember those in need. We pray for those who are lonely, hungry, forgotten. Those who are ill in body and in spirit. Those who are confused and afraid. We pray for your joy and love for all your people, especially those we now remember in the silence of our hearts. Holy One, you came as a child, offering renewal of spirit and of living. May our prayers be a new beginning for healing, truth, and trust. May we embody love that is forgiving, compassionate, and gracious. And may we send back the angel's song of peace and joy. These things we pray in the name of Jesus, who became the Christ, who taught us when we pray to say together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. From this house to yours, may you share in the gifts of this season. May love, the promise of generations, attend you. Joy, the gift of life, together fulfill you. Peace, the desire of nations and neighbors, find you. And hope, the horizon of faith, sustain you. And may a very happy new year be yours. Amen. As we go out, let us sing together number 43 in Voices United. Go tell it on the mountain. We'll sing the whole thing. very much, Anne.